Mr. Adrian Backus, Associate Minister, St. Paul, B.C., Baptist Church, former President of Information Technology at Princeton Seminary, and he continues to serve in moving humanity forward, doing his share in moving humanity forward. Formerly Vice President of Information Technology, and also currently serves as Assistant Director and Assistant Dean for New Jersey Scholarship Transformative Educational Program for Prisons. It involves 9 New Jersey colleges and universities and 7 prisons. Only a program in the country that grants BA and A associate's degrees to inmates. Over 600 students are currently involved in this program. And the next voice you will hear will be Minister Adrian Backus. Would you all please raise your hand, point them up toward the pulpit, and say, bless us with the word. Minister Backus. And it's in Jesus' name we pray.
Say, Lord, you are good. Say,
Lord, you are good, and your mercy endureth forever.
Lord, you are good. Say,
Lord, you are good, and your mercy endureth forever.
Lord, you are good.
Lord, you are good, and your mercy endureth forever.
Come on, church, you gotta get on there.
Lord, you are good, and your mercy endureth forever.
People from every nation.
People from every nation and tongue.
From generation
to generation.
We worship.
We worship you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We worship you.
For who you are.
We
worship. God bless you.
We worship you.
You're good all the time. God bless you.
All the time. All the time.
You
are good. You are good. All the time. All the time. You are good. You are good. All the time. All the time. You are good. You are good. All the time. All the time. You are good. You are good. All the time.
All the time.
All the time. You are good. You are good.
You're good all the time.
All the time.
All the time.
All the time. You are good. You are good. All the time. All the time. You are good.
You're good.
You are good.
All the way.
All the time.
All the way.
All the time. You are good. You are good.
God bless you.
All the time.
God bless you.
All the time. You are good.
You're good all the time.
You are good.
God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
All the time.
All the time. Do you believe
you
it?
You are good.
Are you well?
You are good. All the time. All the time. You are good. You are good. All the time.
God bless you.
All the time.
God bless you.
You are good. You are good.
All the time, God.
All the time.
All the time.
You are good. You are good.
You're good.
All the time.
All the time.
All the time.
Hey, brother.
You are good. You are good. All the time. All the time. You are good. You are good. All the time. All the time. You are good.
God bless you.
You are good.
All the time.
All the time.
All the time.
All the time.
God bless you.
You are good. You are good. All the time. And all the time. You are good.
I'm trying.
You are good.
All
time and all the time. You are good.
People from every nation.
People from every nation.
From generation.
From generation to generation.
We worship you.
We worship you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We worship you.
For who you are.
Who you are.
Bless us with those children. Somebody ought to say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You ought to say amen.
Amen.
Why are you sitting in here like you're cold?
Amen.
Something's wrong with it. Those children set me on fire. There are babies in Africa right now dying from viruses. And we're sitting over here all comfortable. There are babies around the world right now. They haven't eaten this morning. And we're sitting in here. All comfortable. And God's not good to you. He's certainly good all the time. And you ought to testify. And have a self. You got to have a witness. That God's been good to me. And if you think you're in the wrong place, stay anyhow. And get blessed. I thank the choir. I thank Reverend Armstrong for the invitation and Mrs. Armstrong in the absence. I thank the deacons and deaconesses and trustees and stewards and the ushers. But I thank the babies. I thank the children because they're using their gifts. They're not sitting on their behinds thinking that the Lord has passed them by. And if they could give you their voice, if they can give you their clap, if they can give you their yes to the Lord, you ought to say yes to. You ought to be glad about it. I'm not beating you up. I'm trying to love on you. Because we have to love our children. We have to show them that they're supported by us. And today, that's what I want to deal with in the text. By the way that Paul had that same love for Timothy. But he told him something special. Why the children are important. See, children have gifts. Did you know that? Raise your hand if you know it. Now, there's some grandparents in there. Y'all done had all kind of kids. Put your hands up. You know your kids will do you in. Get you out like mine did at Barnes & Noble. Thought she could do what she wanted. And as I squeezed on her hand, she screamed, "Ow! He's hurting me." And she thought that diapers or somebody was going to come and take me out. And everybody passed her along while she said, "Ow, he's hurting me." And when she finally understood she didn't have no help, she did what she was supposed to do. She thought she had a gift. Now, I got a nephew, a new grandson. He's 2. He just had a little brother. And my daughter promised me that we're going to name him Malachi. I did a whole sermon for him up in St. Paul to bless the baby. And then 2 years later, here he come. She said, "I think he's a visionary." This summer, I was waiting for the little fella. And we do FaceTime. How many of y'all got FaceTime? The children know about FaceTime, right? Well, you're not with the kids, which is great. But they see you through the whatever the computer is. And so he was talking away. And he has this gift. He's a visionary. His name is Malachi. And he looked at me. I had my shirt off, and we all happy to see him. And he whispered to his mother, who actually nursing his little brother, saying, "Poppy has boobies." What kind of visionary, I told her, what kind of gift does your child have? He don't know the difference between muscles and boobies.
Then I call him back another month to give him another chance, because he'll do whatever Poppy tells him to do. We had a relationship last year. If I say, get out of your pants, because you won't go to the bathroom, he'll get out, he'll pull everything. I said, now turn around. This is on FaceTime. He ain't even with me. And he'll turn around. Let me see if you went to the bathroom on yourself, because you have to go. Your mother's had enough. Well, he got that all wrong. He sat on the bed, and then I asked him again. He does this. This is the way visionaries work. Praise the truth. They'll look at you like this. And he starts staring at me again. Then he whispered to his mother, Poppy has toothpaste on his face. I had just finished shaving. I told her, I don't know what kind of gift your child had. He may have the gift of vision, but his mouth is something else that might get him in trouble. Now, that's what I want to talk about today, is gifts. What Timothy was doing, and I want to read the passage if you are with me, 2 Timothy 1 through 12. You want to understand, and I'll go quickly, because when you got to preach in the fall, you get in a fight with church folk because the football game is on. And let me tell you, it's not just the men. I was in one church. The women were downstairs and had the radios in the pocketbook. Half of them left, and I didn't know what's going on. I thought they had a prayer meeting. They won't. They said, shut up, Reverend. It's in this Indian land. We only got one point to go, and the preacher's up there preaching too long. So that taught me that be careful. In 2 Timothy 1 through 12, real quickly, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which was in Christ Jesus, he says this to Timothy, to Timothy, a beloved son. And this is a new revised version for the King James, okay? And he said, I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience as my forefathers did. And without ceasing, I remember you in my prayers night and day. And he said, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up. Everybody say, stir up.
Stir up.
Don't be scared in here, because you want to get out early. You got to talk to me. All right. If you don't, y'all want to go to sleep, we'll stay in here and sleep. I have no problem with it. But say, stir up. Because I don't want you to forget the gift of God. All right, now, how do you do a peace symbol? Everybody put the peace symbol up. If you were telling your neighbor, look to your neighbor and show them the peace symbol. Put it up. Everybody got your hand up? Don't be scared in here. Come on. I know when I used to sit in the back in the church back there, I got sick of people telling me what to do in church. But I'm going to tell you anyway, so follow me like my grandson. You got a gift. Peace symbol like this. Now, how do y'all know how to keep it up? Don't put your hand down if you can. If you get tired, if you're older, you can drop it. Put it on your knee like that. All right, that's y'all do yoga. So how do you turn a peace symbol into a gift symbol to stir up the gift? Anybody got an idea? Children, you know, brother? No, you don't know? Okay. All right. Now, take your two fingers and close them. You got it? Now, do you know what this means? All right. Go ahead, mother. You keep them close together. That's right. Now, you got to keep them close together. But they mean something there. That's good, too. Now, I need them. Don't give up. Sit up now. You got it. You got it. You with me. The others is kind of scared. Don't be scared. That's all right. But listen, you got me. Now, here's the thing. If I wanted to stir something like my grandma did now, see, I was going to break. How many of y'all ever had Kool-Aid? Huh? I went to one church, and I told them, bring me some Kool-Aid packets, bring me some sugar, bring me some ice, and bring me some water in a bucket. Okay, and then bring me some spoon. And I divided the church up and gave each piece to different people except for one group of people, the choir. And you know what I did? I said, okay, the boys stand up there with the bucket of water. I told the members that had the Kool-Aid come, each person put a pack of Kool-Aid in there. Then I said, you know, we don't want hot Kool-Aid, right? You have been there. I'm from the South. You want it cold. So bring the ice and put it. Then I asked each person with a spoon to come and stir it up. And that church was on fire. The preacher was standing. He said, I thought that crazy man asked me something when he asked me for ice last night. And then when they ran out of spoon, I asked for more Kool-Aid. But then I didn't have nobody to help me. And so you know what I did? I called them old choir members. And guess what they came and did? Where I come from, if you run out of spoon, you ain't got no spoon, you take these two fingers and you stir it up. Don't forget that, because God has a special gift for you, and he's trying to stir up something in your life. And he did that with these children this morning. And we sit on our blessings, not recognizing the benefits that we have, particularly in America. When God has been so good for us, you can sit down. The issue is, stir it up. That's what Peter was saying. I don't want you to forget that you have a gift. You've seen people do this too when they're trying to tell you something. Stir it up. I don't want you to think that you've not been blessed. And you got to share it with somebody else. Now there was one woman, the older people understood. Because they knew God had been so good. One lady rolled her sleeves up and put a whole hand in it. I said, oh Lord. And then the seniors came and they said, Reverend. Now I was finished. You can't stop there. You know what they said? You got to now drink it. I'm like, oh Lord, I'm going to jail for sure. And these older ladies had cups, and they came up to that brother that messed his suit up, and they dipped that cup and drank it. And they drank, and they drank. And I was like, oh Jesus, I pray harder than I ever pray. Please don't let nobody call me tonight and say these people sick. And they said, you know why? Because when God brings us together to stir up his mercy and his grace and everything that we have, when God is doing that, he's saying, drink from this cup. My body and my blood was broken for you. Drink from this cup. And you can't worry about the disease or the infirmities or the changes that she has or the money that one has or what you don't have on your table. Drink from this cup. And know that my healing is available to you. And let me get back on my sermon, because I got to get y'all out of here. In other words, in this text, it was customary to write letters back then. And what Timothy was doing, or what Paul was doing for Timothy, is that there was a Jewish custom for emphasizing the heritage or the oneness and centrality of who God is as a Savior. And that they go together. In other words, his whole goal was look at God in Christ Jesus as a Savior for all humanity. Okay? And let me break it down. He said, but the message really is, the gospel was about the saving power of the church of Christ Jesus. Not just Timothy, but the whole church. And it didn't work just on the inside of these doors. It worked from the inside out, because you got to touch somebody else's life. That's the people of God. That's the church of God. Understand that. So what was happening here? One of the things that people get confused is, rather than providing faith, because he was talking about Timothy's faith when you read it, and rather than providing faith to his disciple, Timothy, what he was saying is that he was worried about preserving faith. That's a difference in Timothy. Not provide faith, but preserve faith. Let me define it for you. If I provide you faith, that means what? You don't have it. If I preserve faith in you, that means you have it, but I want to make sure you got it. I want to make sure that it's consistent, and I just want to encourage you to keep on keeping on. That's why I'm here today. You understand the difference? So he was preserving the faith. Now, how do I know that he already knew it had it? Because when you read 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 16, the Spirit lets us know that he was saying there's some deceitful folks out there. There's some awful spirits out there. How many of y'all know some bad folks out there? Put your hands up. Don't be scared. The other thing, the man asked y'all if y'all had problems. How many bad folks involved with your problems? Put your hands up. I hear it, my Lord, my Lord. He was saying that, look, while you might have it, and God's got your back, there's some tough folks out there you got to deal with. Young people in the schools, there's some tough people in the schools. On the streets, there's some tough people. And he knew that Timothy, a young man, was going to encounter some of these so-called bad people, because everybody ain't anointed by God. He also lets you know that there's somebody who will profess to know God. There's some who will pray. I've seen people say, I'm praying for you. You know, when my job changed, a lot of folks wrote me and said, I'm praying for you. And I ain't never see them come back. And I understood what they're praying for me. I'm praying that you won't come back. I'm praying that I don't see you. But I have to believe, because I'm a Christian, they were praying for me and my family. Many in here were. But the bottom line is what he's saying. There are false teachers out there. There's false stuff on the internet and trying to interpret the Bible. Be careful as you study. Now, Paul was persuaded, though, that Timothy had it going on. He had the faith, belief in God and Jesus Christ. And he also knew that he had to encourage him. And why did he have to encourage him? He had to encourage him because he knew that Timothy, like Reverend Armstrong, so many other pastors, other ministries, was preparing the church relative to your faith. You hear the difference? And I can't help you with your faith if mine is terribly weak. I don't care how many cloths I have on, this tie I can throw out there in the audience. I can't help you if I'm out on my knees. If I don't believe that somebody's praying for me and my family, it's hard for me to touch your life. So he said, in order for me to build you up, because people will despise you, I'm going to pray for you because I know you have to help them know that you are praying with and for them. Okay? So he's talking about the church. And so one thing that he was doing then, he was trying to say, why do I know that you're a good, faithful Christian guy and all this stuff? Because he started going through his heritage. I know your mama was this. You know how some folks say your mama was this, your daddy was that, and whoever else. If they can't get to your mom and daddy, say your grandma. I had plenty of people say, where your grandma from? What church she go to? So he went through the whole heritage piece. It's what he's doing here to say that look, I'm going to tell you why you are worthy. Okay? That's what he said. Paul found that Timothy was worthy. Why? Because he knew, first of all, that his heritage was good. But most of all, he knew that Timothy was an undeceiving person. He wasn't. He was serious about his commission, about what gift God had given him. And he was willing to work it out and work with people. But he knew that of him. And so what he does is that he said, I also know the streets, though. I also know what's waiting for you on the outside of here. See, he also said, believe it or not, even though the streets may be bad, Deacon, I'm going to tell you that inside your church is bad. Why do you think people come in? Why shouldn't they come in? Why don't we go out and touch their life? He said, in your church, the people of God, there's some stuff in there that's wrong. And so I'm just going to let you know, I got a heads up, brother, because that's why I'm in prison right now. Because I've been working the gospel. And people don't want to believe it or hear it. And so what he's saying then, I'm going to talk to you about some church folk. And so what goes on here is that the way God determines and the way you determine how faithful a church is, do you know what you do? He asked Peter, what's their walk? If you want to know how a person is, you know, how they are, a suit can be deceiving. Y'all don't know me from whether I'm put on a lamb's cake. I could be a wolf. And he's saying, you know, so I'm asking you not about you. I'm asking you about those people you serve and what's your walk. See, one way to measure or determine the importance of a church's faith as it relates to its well-being, how well you're doing, is that according to the mission and the will of God means that whether you are wholly acceptable to God, because that's the issue, you see. One way to do it is that I got to look at your conduct. I got to look at how you act. You know what I mean? I really need to see what's going on with you. And sometimes, you know, the way we find out about people's conduct, it's like when he wanted to encourage him and he wanted to know what's going on. It's like when you got a babysitter. When I had a babysitter, my children were so bad, I made sure I called home every 10 minutes. And when I called, guess what? I didn't just ask the babysitter, how you doing? Because I already know she was wrecked. My son, when we got home one time, his head was stuck in a chair. The babysitter was downstairs on the cell phone with a boyfriend. And he was sleeping in the chair with his head stuck. And I don't blame her. That's probably why we went out. But the bottom line was, is that I don't ask for them. I said, put them on the phone. Put the one on the phone so he'll know that daddy might be right next door. Or I might just be sitting in the car. Or I could be in the basement. so don't let me come up. He was trying to say, while I'm not with you and I'm in prison over here, you're in Ephesus, I know these people. And so I'm trying to do a check on you. But this whole idea of reading a letter was to provide a conduct for the church. So if Pastor Armstrong figure you out of line and he out of town, he'll send a message. When I go to Busted Soil Church, they put his face up on the thing. He'll say, how y'all doing? They'll put a check out there. That's what they were doing with Peter. I want to bring it home and make it plain. Y'all know me when I preach here. So I hope you follow me. So basically what he was saying is that you are strong in your faith and you are worthy of my blessing and all the things. But one thing about you, you're kind of shy. You're shy, you're strong in your faith, you're timid, but I need to know how these people are doing because they'll run over you. And see, the whole thing about it is that when we start looking at it, he was determining what their worth is, because at that point I can tell you what your blessings would be. You understand what I'm saying? God is the same way with us. He wants to know what our actions are so that he knows that we're worthy of the blessings that are given us. You're worthy of the night's sleep that you had and you were able to see the sunshine in the morning. He knows that you're worthy of my grace, which is sufficient, because you didn't have no food in that refrigerator. Don't fool nobody. That's what he's doing. And he knows that the old saying was, birds of a feather flock together. He knew if you kind of moved over to this side with the wrong folks, he's got to find a way, hoping, like he does when he's your great shepherd, to tap you on the side to bring you back with the flock. In other words, he's saying, get your house in order, Shiloh. He's saying, be ye also ready for when I come. Now that we know that he was really knowing that there's some bad folks out there and some crazy folks in the church, he told him something. Is anybody here last name Tate? Any hands go up? Good, I'm free to say what I got to say. He was saying, let me tell you something, Timothy. There's some Tates in every church. There's a family called Tate. Now, the Tate family is not bad. It's the first name they give their children that's bad. Let me give you some examples. And he said, you got to check these people out to see if they're the kind of people in your church. Now, the first thing, you start with old man Tate. Old man Tate is going to tell you in your church, we've been doing this way. We do it all the time. And I don't see where it's bothering nobody. And he wants to run everything. Then there's Uncle Rotate, and he tries to change everything. Turning every program that you have out, don't even want to come to the meeting. And then here he is saying, no, we got to change this. Then there's Sister Agitate, who stirs up plenty of trouble. She's stirring, but she's stirring in the wrong direction. And what you set up, plenty of trouble, and she get help from her husband, not Ira, but Irritate. And whenever new projects are suggested in Shiloh, there's Deacon Hezekiah, not Hezekiah, but Hezekiah. And his wife, Deaconess Veggie, not Vera, Vegetate. And all they want to do is wait until next year on everything. We don't need to serve the Pope. We don't need to go out here in the streets. We don't need to go to the prisons. We don't need to have Bible study. Let's wait. They'll even say on the Lord, but the Lord has nothing to do with it. And they're there too. But then there's some other folks that are not too bad, but they have problems. And there's Aunt Imitate, not Amy, Imitate. All she wants to do in our church is to be like the other churches down the street. She doesn't want you to use your gift like those children have and be so unique that we can be blessed like we were this morning. Let's don't have no children's choir. Let the adults sing. They're off tune. She doesn't want to stir up the new gifts in life. That's Aunt Amy, not Imitate. Imitate. Then there's, she thinks she's a diva, but her name is Devastate. She always provided and divorced her doom. Every time you say, everything is negative. Yeah. Devastate. Tab everything. While Mr., important man is Mr. Potentate. You got it. Mr. Big Shot in the sanctuary. But Paul knew not all of Timothy's Tates members were bad. there was, you know, Brother Facilitate. He may get a little bit in the way, but he's quite helpful in the church. Just have patience. Please be patient with me. Then he has a delightful daughter that comes in, Miss Little Felicitate, you know, who's always throwing kudos to everybody. But she's good if you can get her going. And then there's Cousin Cogitate and Meditate. They always got to think everything over too long. You know, they're just thinking over. But they'll lend you a helping hand every now and then in your church. But he knew that Timothy had better really watch out for the black sheep in the Tate family. That wasn't Arthur. That was Amputate. Amper has completely cut himself off from the church. Huh? For one reason or another, he get mad with you, walk out. He's supposed to be on the board to help you out. You don't see him. He just cut off everything. He'll cut himself off. He'll cut people off from your church. He'll do all of that. He won't use his gift, and he'll complain for one reason or another. But in spite of all of these, what Paul was saying, God couldn't use them all according to his will. No matter how big, no matter how small, God can use you in the way that he will have you for his gift and his will to serve somebody else. God will do that, folks. Let me just tell you. And then he said, but first, Timothy, before I can do this, you got to get fired up. You see, he wanted Timothy to have a stir-up Sunday like we're having up in here. He said, you know, because it's all about faith, love, prayer, encouragement, and Christian discipleship. Don't miss that. See, faith here was more than a feeling. In other words, let me tell you, faith didn't just mean that you feel good from the music. Faith didn't mean that you're jumping up and down and running crazy like I am because of a song you like. Faith was more than a feeling. He was saying that if faith was unfeigned like Timothy. It was genuine. It was sincere. It wasn't way down in the seats. But while yet his faith was sincere, he's saying, your faith, though, is weak. Huh? And that's okay for the Lord. Why? Because there's something called the power of the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you how the power of the Holy Spirit works, if you don't know. When the power of the Holy Spirit works with your faith, you can't be insincere about your belief in Christ Jesus. When the power of the Holy Spirit works with your faith, you ain't got time to be a faker about what you think you're doing when God's working it out for you. You hear me? Somebody say amen. When we have this type of thing and understand about faith, he's saying it's got to be real, Timothy. One writer says that the object of one's faith determines the outcome of what happens to you. And Paul knew that Timothy needed to be stirred up to use his gift from the Lord. In other words, as I wrote many years on my album, he can't sit on his blessing. Don't sit on your blessing. Too many people right now with things going on in our world, in our country, are sitting on their blessing. And you know why? Because they're not willing to share it with somebody else in need. And so I'm saying, as Paul knew this and needed to stir him up, he said, now let me just tell you one thing. We need to know that it's the touch of grace and mercy from God that's faith. Huh? One thing about faith, he said, is that what will faith make us do? Faith will make you depend on God. Do you believe me? Huh? One thing about faith, he said, why? Because you feel so inadequate sometimes about yourself. He said, that's why you are shouting and singing that we serve an on-time God, because he may not come when you want him, but what? He knows how to come right on time. He said, let me tell you why I say about your faith is that one thing that I know is that you will sing, they that wait on the Lord shall renew what? Their strength in him. Does that mean you're already strong? No, it means that you got some problems in your way that you lay awake all night worrying about it. And so what he's saying about faith is that when you let God get a hold of it and you let go and let God and you trust in the Lord, a bigger thing can happen for you in life. And he said a church is made up of wounded people. But the people must first acknowledge who you are. The faith then would turn into, he said, afresh, because God will give you guidance, church, for you and your children. God will provide you unity. Do you believe it, Shiloh? You ought to say amen. He will provide you vision that no man has to give you because God is moving you forward. That's who's in the midst of it. See, I believe that's who shallow is right now. I believe that you live with that trust and you obey the word of God. Now, he said, there's another thing. You don't have to worry about the streets taking you over in your home, your house, because the battle is not yours. It's the Lord's. So you don't have to have fear. You don't have to be insecure. You don't have to feel you're losing power. You just stay stirred up in him because you know that it's the God that healed you from those cancer pieces that I saw. You know that it was the God that put the food on your table when you didn't know what was happening or if he was able. You knew that. You knew that it was God who loosed that habit that you had and put you on a straight path. You knew that it was God that gave you the joy when you were in depression to know that he's a friend when you're friendless. You knew that God was able because you've been blessed. And if you don't know why, would I need to be stirred up? How? What do I have anything to offer? Let me tell you, he just said, there's a long-handled spoon that I'm giving you because you need to know something about when we say stirring. Stir means, by definition, an excited reaction. There ought to be some excitement in your life when you meet Jesus. He's saying, let me tell you about stirring. It means that there ought to be something mixed and agitated in your life to get somebody else up when you're stirred up for Jesus. He says, you know, stir means to rekindle. In some Bible translation, it said rekindle, not stir up. And then here's one for the young people. He said, stir also means work it or whip it up. Now, I'm not saying twerk it and rip it off. You hear me? And young people know what I'm saying here. He said, work it, meaning to work the gift that you have. And whip it up so it can help somebody else, to stimulate them, to loose them, to encourage them, to set them off, to revive them like Jesus, to resuscitate them like Jesus from the tomb, and then resurrect their lives so they'll have a quality of life. You ought to say amen. Amen. See, Paul was saying to Timothy, you have grace, the grace of the Spirit, to preside over the people of God for the sick and the shame. Like in Thessalonians. And you can't quench our spirit, Christians, when we have it from Jesus. Look at Thessalonians. You cannot quench the spirit of those who are studying his word. You can't quench the spirit of an old Christian that's been around a long time. Because they've been there, done that, seen it, and they know that God always makes a way. And he's able. You can't do it. He just said you got to serve with joy and stand boldly. Don't be conquered or feel that you've been conquered. Stand bold and don't shrink like a violet. Don't wither like the weeping willow. Know that God is able and have made a way. When you look back over your life and you see where you come from, it was God in Jesus that brought you a mighty, mighty long way. See, I believe he's saying you got to submit to God's will and you got to be in the service of the Lord. And we weren't by ourselves. Let me tell you, Gideon didn't want to do it. Jeremiah, he didn't want to open his mouth for the Lord. Peter was a coward and carried a knife with him all the time. And Paul was afraid. But thank God for the power of the Holy Spirit, because this caused Gideon to come out with a light, come out with a trumpet, come out with clay lanterns, and bring the city down, didn't it? We got to know the power of the Holy Spirit. It caused Jeremiah to let the world know that the Spirit was caught up in his bone. And he had to move out for God to touch somebody's life. And it called Paul to preach, to move forward with what he was doing with the word of the Lord. And have confidence in his trials and tribulations. How many of y'all got trials and tribulations in here? Know that God will give you the confidence in Jesus, in his word, to overcome every trial, every tribulation. And as things get released and decreased, the Lord in Jesus will increase your life with joy. And now let me move on really quickly. I'm going to cut this short. I brought a little thing with me.
And I'm going to end with this. Can you all see this? Everybody see this? It's a little violin. When I was in the continent of Rwanda during the war in 1992, I went up to see my, hold that young man. I went up to see my village. And when I went up there, I had 56,000 people. I told this church before, in an open field, colder than it is outside today, 25 degree weather, that run all night from the rebels at that time. And I went to one little village that I love in the volcanic area in Rwanda. And when I went there, I heard all up in the mountains, they had Beethoven's Sixth Symphony, Joyful, Joyful, playing. And it was nothing but children playing, 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 joyful, joyful. And when my truck drove up and I got out, they came to me with a smile on their face. And as they came to me with that smile, I put away my stuff, came out, and each child offered me a gift. This little violin with this wonderful music that they had learned with no resources, no food in their stomach, no shoes on their feet. They offered me a gift. And when I pulled my pen out, they wanted the pen because they wanted to write. And they exchanged me pens for their instruments. We have people that don't want to write. We have people that can't say thank you when they get a pen. We have people that won't say thank you for food. We have people who won't serve to offer food. We have people who won't visit the sick. We have people that won't visit the imprisoned. What I'm saying here is that, put them two fingers up again before y'all go all the way to sleep. Now do like this for me. And say, God, use my gift. Help me in my life to be a vessel for somebody else's life. Give God a hallelujah and give him a praise. Glory and honor. Everybody on your feet. It's due all God in heaven through Jesus Christ. Glory and honor. There's somebody who came in here. That little violin is made out of a cow horn. Those little things that he's plucking now is made from two little pieces of wire and some carved wood that was offered to my child 34 years ago. They offered themselves as a vessel because they said to me, Mr. Backus, you keep coming up. In spite of the barriers, in spite of the problems, your truck keep coming. In spite of you can't feed us all. But we believe that as long as you keep coming, God is with you. Many of us should know that God has touched your life. And don't ever forget it. But there are some amongst us who may not feel that way. If you want the Lord to, like he told the woman at the well, you don't know what gift you're talking to. If you want the Lord to change your life, you need to come up here and join some edifice. You need to come, ladies. You need to come, whoever you are, and say, God, take me as I am. As the deacons go out. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't be ashamed of his power. There might be somebody out there. Don't be afraid. I'll come get you and hug your hand. That's y'all bless me. If the Lord needs to be in your life, bless you, dear. Come forward, give her a hand. God is going to change something magnificent in your life. Is there anybody? Come on now. All of us in here have fallen short of his glory. Let the Lord touch your life. Come on out. Thank you, mother. Come on out. Say, Lord, I need you. That's what I told Reverend Armstrong. You haven't seen me, but I need you in my life. I need you. I have no food. I need you. God bless you. Don't feel alone. I'll walk with you. Come on, Lord, say, come as you are.
I love you.
And Lord, come and let me drink from this fountain with you. Come, let me heal your problem. Come, let somebody else pray for you. Hey, darling, God bless you. He said, come. Men, you heard about cancer. They're boys. I'm in the prisons. They're fathers who are trying to worry about their children. They're mothers who graduated with that degree, but they'll give you their stories about, I don't want my child to fall in that gap here in America. Come on out. Come on out. You know who you are. I don't mean to scream. Get quiet. We'll wait for the Lord. Jesus is stirring up something in your life. There's some family. If you don't have a church home, Shiloh is the place for you. Come right on. God bless you. Feel satisfied in your soul. God bless you. Have some kind of joy about you. God bless you, deacons.
Your mercy.
God bless you. Look at your neighbor and say, I love you.
Forever.
Come on, don't be afraid. Look to the right, look to the left. I love you, deacon. Say, I love you. Some people haven't been told that in years.